all here today. Anders Nevins isn't here this morning. He had song leading, so I'm going to fill in him for at least right now and maybe later in the worship service. So you want to turn your songs to number 24. The psalm book is number 24. 25, sorry. 25. All Things Praise. So we'll sing all three verses, and then we'll ask Brother Mark Nevins to do that, lead us in the word of prayer. Then we'll be dismissed to our classes. We're glad to see our visitors here. We have some amongst us, and glad that you have spiritual things in mind you chose to worship with this morning. Psalm number 25. All things praise thee, Lord Most High, heaven and earth and sea and sky. All were for thy glory made, that thy greatness thus displayed. Should all worship bring to thee, all things praise thee, Lord, may we. All things praise thee, night to night, sings in silent hymns of light. All things praise thee, day by day, chants thy power in burning ray. Time and space are praising thee, all things praise thee, Lord, may we. All things praise thee at thy shrine, rings with melody divine. Lowly bending at thy feet, seraph and archangel meet. This their highest bliss to be, ever praising Lord.
Father in heaven, as we come into thy presence this morning, Father, we are indeed grateful for this day, this Lord's day, to come and to assemble ourselves here this morning. We pray, Father, to worship thee in spirit and in truth, and in this hour to open up thy word in a Bible study that we may glean thy truths, that we may make applications to our lives, so we may be better individuals and better Christians as we go out to present thy word. Pray, Father, for those that are away from us, from travel, the health issues and things of that nature. We pray that you would be with them to restore them and to bring them back to this location so that they too can be laborers here with us and to encourage us. We ask our sins, Father, at this time in Christ's holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning. It's good to see everybody out this morning. We appreciate Brother Michael taking the Wednesday night class for me. We will be continuing on for the continuity of that. We'll be continuing on in 1 John chapter 2. That way my thoughts won't get interrupted as much. And come next Sunday, Brother Chuck will continue his Romans lesson. So we'll be in chapter 2 of 1 John. County has a review, so I wasn't here Wednesday night. What would be one of the takeaways from 1 John chapter 1 that if somebody comes up and says, hey, what's in chapter 1 of 1 John, what would you tell them? What would be one key takeaway? There's several.
God is light.
God is light. That's a good one. Yes, Mark?
Walk in the light.
Walk in the light. Kind of got to walk back into the Gospel of John when you start reading, you know, chapter 1 and when we get into chapter 2 as well, you know, his writings there. What else?
We confess your sins, he's faithful to forgive us.
Okay, confession of sins, faithful for it.
How we can have a fellowship with God.
There you go.
Okay. That one word, and then when you get into it and see how involved fellowship is, is something else, fellowship, yes. far as that. Chapter 2, 1 John, we're going to read the first six verses, and if we get out of these first six verses into 7, 8, and 9, then I haven't done my work as facilitator. So, and you'll get that, because there's one verse that we're going to dissect, I think, pretty good, or should. So, where did he start with last week? Six verses. Front, back, or down?
Front.
Keith, would you read the first couple of verses, 1 through 6, and we'll just two each and get the back row out of the way.
My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Christ the righteous. And he himself is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world.
And by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not it.
But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked.
All right, first six verses. I want to go kind of with the questions, because if I don't, I deviate, and that won't be good as far as that. Question one, what proof do one have about the Apostle John in his age, either physical or spirit, in this chapter?
Is there any proof?
Remember the introduction? There's a couple of words. Little children, throughout his writing, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, little children. Maybe an indication of his physical age or his spiritual age. Okay. When was these books kind of written on that time-wise? Kind of arranged?
About
in the 90s. 95, 96, but somewhere in the 90s, okay? Is that significant? Yes, it is, because he's one of the last writers of the New Testament. Okay? He looked at natural death. He was one that did not, you know, was crucified or cut in two or anything, so he had a tradition to say the natural death. Remember, Apostle John was the one that took Jesus, his mother, and took care of him, among other things. So here he is, just like Paul was with Timothy and Titus, you know, over. Now he's writing back, hey, little children, okay? Question two, who's an advocate, or what is an advocate? It's verse one, right? We have an advocate, so what is an advocate?
Someone who speaks on our behalf.
All right. Someone who intercedes, speaks on our behalf. Example today, when you go to court, you may have an advocate to help speak in that court for you or whatever. Things of that nature. So we have an advocate. And who is our advocate?
Jesus.
Jesus. Okay. Trying to think of a question, the way to ask it, to get the answer. When we're ending prayers, how do we end prayers?
Christ.
Okay, it's not a, in his name, in, there's our advocate. Okay, there's our avenue, there's our authority.
Yes, ma'am. And we're, because we're addressing the prayer to begin with to God our Father, I mean, it's through Jesus that we're able to talk to him. So by not saying that at the end, I mean, we're approaching God through Jesus. Otherwise, we don't have a path to God.
We got that connection. Also, sometimes, I think we do a study of prayer and everything, and it'll come up that we at times don't know how to express ourselves. If we just say, hey, Jesus, express it for us to your Father, or to our Father, in that respect. So we do have an avenue. That word is used, from what I can gather, just one other time. That's why I asked the Job question. What did Job have to say about an avenue? Anybody pick up that Job? Job 16:19. That's why we're gotten at. We use the word advocate. Even now, behold, my witness is in heaven. My advocate is on high. Get the correlation. Where's Jesus? In heaven, on high, right hand side of God. That's what Job had. So even back then, Job was a lost my word, with Abraham, patriarch, in the same time period as Abraham knew that he had an advocate in heaven. Any questions, comments, anything so far? This is a one-way street. Yes, Tim.
In verse 1 where he's writing it, says, I'm writing to you so that you may not sin. So the desire is that we should not sin. But he follows that up. And if anyone does sin, so he's saying, you may not sin. I don't want you to sin. However, if you do, and we know we're on Jesus and we will, we know if we do, well, here's our advocate. This is how we approach God if we have, because we need to approach God if we sin, because we separate ourselves from God.
There's that fellowship from last week. You see how this ties in. Now, does this give us a blank check to sin?
No.
Okay, good. Some people may look at that and say, well, I keep on sinning because His grace abounds, you know. So that's a whole different topic in and of itself. Okay. Going to verse 2, let's say we're going to dissect some of these verses. Somebody tells you or asks, you know, Christian, what in the world are we talking about? Yeah, I had that same feeling until I started looking up words. What are we talking about? You know, it says, hey, propitiation for our sins.
What He gave us. Himself for our sins.
Okay. In this case, Jesus gave Himself. What else?
Looking for a couple of words.
Yes, Dave.
He's not ultimately charged.
Render favorable. Render favorable.
Okay, render favorable. Him?
Satisfaction.
Yeah, okay, you're getting close. Satisfaction, appreciate, and satisfaction, render favor, atonement,
sacrifice.
You know, somebody is going to appease something, okay, redeem, you know, those things. So, taking that in the context, we have, let's see, He Himself, which would be who?
He Jesus.
Jesus, propitiation, made atonement, made redemption. Satisfaction, all those words for our sins. You get the significance of the events around the cross through all this? Not only for our sins, but who else's? What was the purpose of Jesus when He came?
Save the lost, save the world. Yeah.
Seek and save the lost. Okay. So we got that early on in His ministry. Now here it is late. Last apostle, writing, telling us the same thing. Propitiation of sin. That word propitiation, if I can talk this morning, is found in four other places. So, next roll up, it wants to read. I got four passages. If you don't want to read, just pass it on to the next partner. Romans chapter 3, verse 25. And the next one would be Hebrews 2, 17. We're not going to do the third one, because that's 1 John 2, 2, and that's where we're at. Okay. And then 1 John 4, 10. So Romans 3, 25, Nick, if you want to, or just pass it down, whoever wants to read. What we're looking at is for that particular word in that context. What it says. Romans 3, 25 is the first one. Hebrews. Oh, I'm sorry. 2:17.
For all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Whom God put forward as propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in His divine forbearance He had passed over former sin.
All right, propitiation of sin, and what did it require according to this verse? His blood. Through faith. Jesus was obedient to His purpose here on earth. Hebrews 2:17.
Therefore, in all things, He had to be made like His brothers, that He might be merciful and faithful. High priest in all things, pertaining to God, make propitiation for the sins of the people.
All right. Could be atoning when He was still in heaven, right? So He had to become like us, you know, like His brothers. Became that merciful and faithful high priest, attempting in all things, but what?
So what does that verse come
to? Did not sin? That's going to be key, because later on, when we get in verses 4 through 6, we'll start pulling that out as well. 1 John 4:10.
In this love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, sent his Son, to be our atonement, our propitiation for our sin.
All right. Four different passages, same word, used the same way, and we get this idea that reinforces it. It took Jesus' blood to atone our sin. Any comments right here? Questions?
Yeah. After his crucifixion, the new covenant. So all the things they had to do in the old law, blood, are no longer required anymore. So we go back to the Old Testament. And to do those things today, when we have the new covenant after Jesus' death, would be unwise. It's not profitable to us. His death doesn't profit us anything. We go back to the Old Testament and try to do those things in the Old Testament to cover our sins.
So not only did the cross atone for sin, what else did it do as far as Noah? Because then Jesus is teaching that if you go back and do one part of the law, you have to do all of it. I understand that part of it. Anything else?
Yep. And then also the... talked about that before.
It is
blood flowed both directions,
yep.
Right?
Yeah, and I'm going to say something about that before. So, yes, it flowed back, and it also flowed forward as far as that goes. Verses 4 through 6 ask question number 4. And when I started diving into it last night, it's like, whoa, there's more to hear than what meets the eye. How can we come to know him, come to know Jesus? You can look in 4 through 6 and pull out 3 things, hopefully, but yet when we start looking at each 3, it's a little bit more in depth. Okay. His work.
His word,
okay. That's point number 2, keep his word that I have, and go ahead in the right order. What else?
Okay.
And there's one you kind of have to look at, verse 4. Okay, if you read verse 4, that's the negative. But if you pull out the not and the liar, it becomes a positive. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So verse 4 says, the one who says, I have come to know him and does not do his commandments. Okay, take the word not out. I've come to know him, I do his commandments. So okay, can we say that's the positive? So if we keep his commandments. I mean, in this book, it's always coming back, keep my commandments. Go back to the Gospel of John, he's saying the same thing. So, that's the 3 phrases I'm going to work with, and there's like 30 scriptures, believe me. We're going to look at each one of them and take the rest of the time to do this. In verse 4, keep his commandments. I don't know where we ended up, so if somebody will get John 14:15, we're going to kind of dissect the Gospel of John at this point. The first one would be John 14:15. The next one would be John 14:21. So whoever has John 14:15 can do 14:21. Next one out is John 15:10. So we'll end it right there because we'll have to go back to 1 John. So John 14:15 and verse 21.
If you love me, keep my commandments. He who has my commandments and keeps them is he who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself in him.
So according to this, if we keep his commandments, what else are we doing?
Loving him.
Him being who?
Yeah.
Christ. And who else?
Father.
And Father, okay. So if we love Christ, we're going to love the Father. Because Christ and God and Holy Spirit is all one part of the Godhead. So if you deny one, you're actually going to do what to the other two? Probably deny the other two as well. That's a whole new number religious denomination teaching. What I'm trying to pull out in this is the commandment part. Okay, we'll talk about the word here in a few minutes. John 15:10.
If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love.
So according to this, you keep his commandments and do what with them? Yeah, abide in them. But yet I can still see Galatians 1:6-9.
Now,
what were they doing? Yeah, if anybody comes to preach another gospel, he'd be a curse. It's not a difference. It's just right here. So he might abide in him. Abiding would be a concept of what? Just reading or?
Continually living.
So it's a daily thing. I think it's Peter who says, add to your virtue and graces. It's not a one shot, hey, I got my once a week shot, I'm good for the rest of the week, right? So it's a continue. So back to 1 John, chapter 3, verse 24, the next reader. And 1 John 5, 2 and 3. And then 2 John 6. 1 John 3, 24.
Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this, we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us.
Hey, if we keep his commandments, what's happened? Or what will happen? We're still that abiding? That we will know that he's with us if we keep his commandments. Okay, can we pull that out? Again, 1 John 5, 2, and 3.
By this we know that we love the children of God, and we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdens.
What do we know about his commandments here?
That they're doable.
They're doable, yeah. There's folks out there that say, no, they're tough, they're hard, they're difficult. There's some difficult teachings, I'll grant that they're, we spend the time with, we can understand it. If his commandments were burdensome, how many commandments he gave in the Old Testament law? Okay. Over 630. Now, is that burdensome versus what we got as far as the new one? I think we'll put verse 2 and 3. If we go into 4, then if we overcome the world, then the victory there is at faith. And we'll talk about that when we get in the chapter. Chapter 5. The last two, Revelation has something to say about his commandments. So the next reader, Revelation 12:17, and then the next one is Revelation 14:12. You don't go in that book too often, but 12:17.
And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ.
Okay. Keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. Keep that thought, because I think the next Revelation passage, 14:12, is kind of connected to this.
Here's the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus.
Here we are in Revelation, getting down to the last, and saying certain churches and verses or chapters 2, 3, it talks about good and bad, those that kept the faith, those that haven't. Again, if we keep his commandments, if we persevere, have a faith, then we're going to have our reward. It's how we live life here. It will dictate where we go in hereafter. Yes, Pam.
If we keep his commandment, that implies that we must know what his commandments are. So it's resident of the state of Indiana in order to keep the laws of the state and, you know, whether it's transportation or taxes or whatever, I need to understand what those laws are. And I can't say I'm abiding in them or I'm doing them if I don't know what those are. I'm just taking a shot. Well, here, I think this is what it should be, or well, Mark told me it was this, right? I need to go to the source and understand what the source tells me I need to do in order to do that.
Good analogy, yeah. We got to be abiding in order to keep the commandments. Or is that any other comments? Next phrase in that 4 through 6, and that I came up with would be keep his word. And I'm thinking, is there a difference between his commandments and his word? Are they the same, different? And I started with the conclusion that they were the same until I started looking, and it's a different distinction. Okay. For instance, a commandment would be upcoming assembly, same, Lord's Supper. Well, we have to take the Lord's Supper. Okay. See, they had his commandment. But wouldn't keep his word, the word would be like his teachings in the parable, the Beatitudes, not commandments, but it's his word, that, you know, Christian living direction, you know, the apostles. You know, Paul say, hey, this is my commandment, but then, you know, come back and say, well, this is not a commandment, but here's what I would suggest, I guess. So can we get the difference? Okay, if you can't, you will, because here's where we're going to look at a lot of scriptures. A lot of scriptures. Go back to the book of John. First one out of the chute, and we'll kind of do about 5 in a row. John 2:22. The next one's John 4:41. And John 5:37-38. And we'll end it right there because John 8 has several. So John 2:22. Keep the emphasis on the word. Okay. And see if we can get a distinction between the two.
So when he was raised from the dead, his disciples came to him and said this, and they believed the scripture and our Lord was Jesus.
All right. So the word there is what Jesus spoke. They believed. They were better than man. Because he was healing the sick, the dead. So we went. Okay, bear with me. So John 4:41.
And many more believe because of his own word.
Now, his word may be more of a general, can include the command, but again, many more believe because of his word. His teaching, and his teaching in parables, Sermon on the Mount, various other things, that one command. John 15:10. Whoops, excuse me. John 5:37. I'm on the wrong line. 5:37-38.
And the Father himself, who sent me, has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his form. But you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he has sent, him you do not believe.
Okay. If you remember back then, you know, testimony of two or more witnesses confirmed what's been said. So here's the Apostle John giving testimonies of John the Baptist, works, Father, Scripture to validate Jesus. Okay. From the Father's side, you do not believe his word, his would be Christ, because back then they weren't, early on, a lot of believers, even his physical family did not believe, right? Early on? Well, after his death, so we kind of get evidence that they will believe. So, it's almost like abiding in his word. If you don't abide in his word, he's not here. But if you hear the Father say, if you don't believe in Jesus, you're not going to believe in him. Make sense, Dave?
Acts 20:27. On the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, it's not a commandment, but we know that if we're going to keep the word, that's something to do.
Okay. Keep that thought, because I think I got that verse in here somewhere. Again, John 8:31 through 32.
And Jesus therefore was saying to those Jews who had believed, if you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
So the truth can be a commandment, can be his word. So same verse, or same chapter, next one do 37 and 43 together. Verse 37 and 43. You guys, you want to read this one? Verse 37, same chapter.
Eight, right?
Yes, ma'am. You're older than me.
Yes. Don't you forget it. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you.
You've got the good, and this is the negative side. No place in my word, not in you. So you seek to kill me. Go down to verse 43 now.
Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word.
Get the point that they had a heart under the heart out there. They should have known, actually. They should have known who Jesus was when he was born, correct? If they were really students, and that they were so callous, heart under the heart, things of that nature, they did not want to accept it. Same chapter, this is going to be a little bit lengthier reading, verses 51 through 55.
Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. The Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, and the prophets also. And you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste the death. Surely you are not greater than our father Abraham, who died. The prophets died too. Whom do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. Is my Father who glorifies me, whom you say he is our God, and you have not come to know him, but I know him. And if I say that I do not know him, I will be a liar like you, but I do know him and keep his word.
Again, keep his word. I know there's other lessons in here. We just didn't understand that Jesus was greater than Abraham. That idea. Of course, Jesus answered, hey, about the glory, because if we, in our lives today, can we glorify the Father?
Yeah.
How, then, can we glorify the Father? Keeping his word. Keeping his word, what else? The practical application. What about conversation? Way of life, way of mannerism. Somebody comes and asks you a Bible question, do we shirk back? Or do we say, hey, here's the answer, I don't know, let me get back to you, you know, ready to set the fence? You know, do we take opportunity? I try not to pass up the opportunity at work to somebody. My biggest thing is profanity, okay? Among the workflow. And I walk around, I hear something, I'll stop and they know the look. And then I'll come back. Apologize, not only me, but who they said it to. That's just the way I am. Now, they're going to go off and say the same thing when I'm not around, but at least at that moment, again, we're planting seeds the way we are. You know, so I do the same thing, walk around. You know. Or, Brandon and Raven is anger. You know, there's all types of aspects as far as that. Make sense? John 15:20. Then John 15:20.
Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also.
So watch the relationship of the word here in this verse.
Teaching.
Huh?
Teaching.
Teaching. And if we keep the word, what's going to happen? Maybe. At least back then. So if you're not going to keep my commandments, do my word, you're going to get persecuted. Can we get persecuted today? Not as much, but yes, we can. Maybe not physical. Then again, if the government claps, it could be. But it could be the slander. Oh, you're a Christian, ha ha, you know. Poking fun.
What about?
I know folks that experience that from childhood all the way up. Oh, you're a preacher's child? Oh, they just went off on that. Things like that. Not me, but others that I know of. But when we put on Christ, baptized in Him, become a Christian, we are not, you know, shielded. I mean, we got the armor. The devil's going to find ways to persecute us. John 17, 17. Sitting there in the garden. The word is true. I'm trying to get a connection. Hopefully y'all are seeing this about the word. His word. Okay, that's all good, but that is all before the cross. It is before church was established. I understand that. So let's go until after the church is established, after the crucifixion, after Acts chapter 2. In fact, we're going to Acts chapter 2. Acts 2, 41, then Acts 6, 7, and Acts 8, 4.
Right.
So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls.
Just on the go to the next one, which would be Acts 6, 7, because they're all, I think, connected right here with that talk. Acts 6, 7.
And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. A great company of the priests were obedient to the faith.
Back to the back, I guess. James, Acts 8, 4.
Now those who were scattered went about and changed.
All right, the word. Acts 2:41, it spread. Acts 6:7, Acts 8:2. The word could include, as I say, the commandments, but there's other teachings there. Ephesians 6:7 throws a little curve in this. We're talking about the armor of God, or Ephesians 6:17. That's 6:17. Dave, you got that in for us? Ephesians 6:17.
Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
What offensive weapon do we have in our arsenal?
The word of God.
That's what we've been talking about. That's the point I wanted to draw on. We need to have the rest of the armament. The sword, the word is what we use.
And that's what Jesus used when he was tempted to the devil. You know, word is written. Word is written three times. he used the word of it. That's what we use.
If you look at the teachings and the sayings of Jesus and go through the gospel accounts, he always went back to the old law and brought it forward. Temptation, brought it forward. What about marriage? Divorce, brought it forward. Went back and captured it. Because that solidifies the law there, but then he says, here's my law. Does that make sense? So we need to find today those that are religious, find out where they're at. Because they may be stuck back in that old law somewhere, and bring them forward into the new law. Colossians 3:16, and then 1 Thessalonians 1:5. Colossians 3:16.
But the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God.
Okay, what's the thought here? Passage usually we use for what?
For singing.
Look at the first phrase of it. Not downing the singing part. Yes, that's the passage for that. But if you look at the first phrase, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. There we are. It's daily. Put on the arms. Get the connection. 1 Thessalonians 1:5.
For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit
And as much as you know, kind of being a movie for us.
That word only, but house.
And power, what does Romans 1:16 say? Where is the power? Hopefully to make you connect. Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15, something that we probably can quote from memory. Then the next one will be 2 Timothy 4:2. These sort of all go together.
Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, to the worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
So it's more than just knowing it. We're supposed to do what with it? Rightly dividing. And there's people out there that are not doing that. How do we know that? What's some examples of them not rightly dividing the word of God?
We have many denominations.
Instrumental music. Women preachers, women elders, same-sex marriage are banned by their denomination. You know, the list can go on and on. They're not rightly dividing God's word from their sin. Okay? Let's see here. 2 Timothy 4:2.
Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort, and with all one's suffering and teaching.
Rightly divide, and indeed, I know this is a apostle Paul talking to Timothy. I just say we need to go out to preach the word, present the word for those reasons. Yes. Titus 1:9, and then Hebrews 4:12. Titus 1:9.
Holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine, both to exhort and convince those who contradict.
So in keeping the word, holding fast, what two things will happen? According to this verse. Yeah. Sword and divide. Exhort, which is positive. But what's the negative? Yeah. So, there's a two-way sword. You can do both. Hebrews 4:12.
For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
Yeah. Offensive weapon. Getting the connection. I know we're spending time, but it's just more of saying, keep my word or keep my commandment, or it's more involved. It's easy to say, yeah, I keep his commandment, but once you start diving into it, what is it? Or to keep the word. James 1:22. There is the next.
But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself.
What can I say? James said it. Be doers instead of just listeners only. And the last one in this section, Revelation. Yes, Revelation does have thoughts about it. Chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, and then verse 10.
To the angel. Revelation 3, verse 7.
Yeah, 7 and 8, and then it's dropped down to 10.
Okay. To the angel, the church in Philadelphia writes, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, he shuts and no one opens. Know your works, see I have set before you an open door, no one can shut. You have an open door, and no one can shut it, and you have no strength. Have kept my word and have not denied my name. Because you have kept my commandment, persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world. Test those who dwell in the earth.
Well, here's the church, a little strength, and yet they kept it, right? They persevered. And doing that, you keep them as well. That's the thought of keeping his word. A little bit more involved with that. Okay. The third thing out of these 1 John 2, 4 through 6, thought of was walk in the same manner as he walked. What does that on the surface tell us? Walk as he walked, walk as Jesus walked. Imitate Christ. What was that encounter? What is? Let me go to walk in the light. Okay. Let me go to passage. Romans 6, 3 through 6. We'll finish up with this one from Romans 6, 3 through 6. Next one is 2 Corinthians 5, 7. Then Galatians 5, 16, and then 25.
Walk in the newness of life that is a new life from after we're baptized, right? That new life is in Christ.
One of two passages that tells us how to get into Christ. So we got to do away with the old self, put the new self on, and walk as he has walked. 2 Corinthians 5, 7.
For we walk by faith, not by sight.
Walk like Jesus walked, we've got to walk by faith. I saw it. Galatians 5, 16, and then in verse 25.
I say that walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Okay. So, there are certain
things. Then go down to 25, verse 25.
If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit.
Okay, we walk by the Spirit. How do we do that? Okay, that's about it. Through the Word. The Word is inspiration by God, the Holy Spirit, through the apostles, through the writers. Okay, what else? Somebody, Janet said. Yep. Then we can go and talk about fruit of the Spirit, which we won't get into. Ephesians 2:10. Let's look over Ephesians 2:10. Yeah, I don't know where the reader went to. I think we got out of place. Johnny.
Oh, I thought it was Dennis. For we are his workmanship created in Jesus Christ for good works, as God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them.
Again, we're walking in him, we are created. Walk in him. I think we got out of the sequence there. Again, Ephesians 5, 1 and 2.
Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for you, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma.
I think it was mentioned earlier on in the lesson. Imitate. Oh, can you get one? Okay. The rest of them is going to be Philippians 3:17, Colossians 1:10, and these are good passages, and we'll start. We'll just stop right there.
Is it, if you look at this, isn't this like a building of things? I mean, you start because you obey his commandments. I mean, when we first become Christians, that's what we do. We don't know a lot, so you obey. And then as you grow in his word, you know his word. And then as you know his word, you walk in. Isn't that basically what the steps are?
Because Peter talks about growing in the graces, you know, add. So we are constantly adding by the building that Jesus has been the cornerstone. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Yeah.